If you all want to, you can turn your Bibles to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6. A little backstory. About 2 or 3 months ago in my just personal devotions and Bible reading, I was reading this chapter, and God just spoke to me through it. He gave me a message that I could develop and preach from. And I felt impressed that he wanted me to preach it, but I didn't want to just ask pastor, I didn't want to impose that on him. So I just prayed to God in that moment. I said, Lord, if you really want me to preach this, open the door and give me an opportunity. And a few weeks ago, Pastor out of the blue, I wasn't expecting, asked me to preach, and I knew this was the message that God wanted me to give. So it's a blessing for me. It's always encouragement, and one of the spiritual themes behind it is faith. So just God building our faith, right? I'm going to read the whole chapter of Acts chapter 6, only 15 verses, so you want to follow along. And in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplied, there arose a murmuring of the Grecians against the Hebrews because the widows were neglected in the daily ministration. And then the 12 called the multitude of the disciples unto them and said, It is not reason that we should leave the word of God and serve tables. Wherefore, brethren, look ye out among you, 7 men of honest report, full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business. But we will give ourselves continually to prayer and to the ministry of the word. And the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith in the Holy Ghost, and Philip, and Prochorus, and Nicanor, and Timon, and Parmenas, and Nicholas, the proselyte of Antioch, whom they set before the apostles. And when they had prayed, they laid their hands on them. And the word of God increased, and the number of the disciples multiplied in Jerusalem greatly. And a great company of priests were obedient to the faith. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. Then there arose certain of the synagogue, which is called the synagogue of the Libertines, and Cyrenians, and Alexandrians, and of Cilicia, and of Asia, disputing with Stephen. And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spake. And they suborned men, which said, They have heard him speak blasphemous words against Moses and against God. And they stirred up the people and the elders and the scribes and came upon him and caught him and brought him to the council and set up false witnesses, which said, This man ceaseth not to speak blasphemous words against his holy place and the law. And we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth shall destroy this place and shall change the customs which Moses delivered us. And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel. I entitle tonight's message, Stephen the Layman. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you so much for allowing us to be here again tonight, Lord. We love you, Lord. We want to honor and glorify your name, honor and glorify Christ. Help that to occur tonight, Lord. Speak through me, speak to us all, Lord, through this message that you've given us, Lord, and help us to grow in faith, to grow closer to you, to grow in love with you, Lord. I ask you bless this time in Jesus' name, amen. So in Acts chapter 6, what we have happening is the church in Jerusalem is growing. The apostles are being asked to come and do administrative duties to the people. In this particular case, there was some Grecian widows who were being neglected because they were Grecian and not full Hebrew or Jewish like the rest of them. So they brought this grievance before the apostles, and the apostles said, we can't take the time to keep on hearing these grievances. If you think back of Moses, how Moses was discouraged about the amount of people complaining to him. He told God, I can't sit here in judgment of all these people. It's too much for me to bear. In this case, the apostles wanted to spend that time in prayer. He wanted to spend that time praying for the church, praying for people, going out and ministering like God had asked them to do, right? So they came to the multitude, to the congregation, and presented an option for them to bring forth 7 men who were full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, that they can appoint deacons to do the administrative duties, to take care of these things in judgment and just guide the church and help with the apostles guiding that. Of those men, they chose Stephen. And all these men were full of the Holy Ghost and wisdom. So we can surmise that Stephen was also full of Holy Ghost and wisdom, right? And it even says so in verse 5, if you want to look at verse 5, and the saying pleased the whole multitude, and they chose Stephen, a man of full of faith and of the Holy Ghost. I think it's important to note that this whole chapter, it lists seven men, and it took the time to add some adjectives for Stephen, that he's full of faith and the Holy Ghost. We already know, the Bible already said here, we already know all these men had the fullness of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, but I think it's important that God took the special time to note that Stephen had the Holy Ghost and faith, right? So that's where I kind of want to focus in on Stephen. And if you want to, by a show of hands, who here is a layman or a laywoman or a layperson? We got to be, what's PC nowadays, right? No. We're all laymen and lay people, right? Every single one of us, except for David and Pastor, who hold a pastoral office, right? So that brings me to point number one, a layman appoint a deacon. And this church, this Jerusalem church, was full of thousands of people. And out of thousands of people, they chose seven men, right? One of those was Stephen. And it was simply just because they had those qualities that the apostles asked for, that fullness of the Holy Ghost and wisdom, right? And it's special. It was such a unique thing that these seven men were chosen, that they had some sort of, that they had that fullness beyond probably other people in the church, or they just, right away, you knew, you thought of them. And just some people in this church, I'm sure you can think of, that'll come to your mind, like, that person I know is full of the Holy Ghost. He's serving God. He's ministering. He loves the Lord. And those are the people that they chose, the people that came to their mind, right? But, like I kind of said, Stephen, I believe, was special in a way that God took the time to make these extra adjectives for him. If you want, so I read verse 5 to you again, that he was full of faith and the Holy Ghost, right? But if you also want to look at verse 8, it says it again. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. And because of his faith and because of his fullness of spirit, God saw fit to direct the people of Jerusalem to appoint him a deacon, right? It's a special thing when people in our congregation, men and women in your congregation, can look at you and feel that you should be appointed in a place of leadership. And I don't want this to be something of an attack. This was something that God convicted me about, right? So I don't want anyone to feel like they're being called out on. It's just simply that when you are walking in the Spirit, when you are full of the Spirit, it's going to be recognized, right? There's something special about that being close to God. And we see that in this account of Stephen. And reading this account, it really just brought that to mind. There's something special about Stephen that God even devoted 2 full chapters to him, right? And just sharing that account, his faith to the Christianity, to his faith to Jesus and to the religion, right? But this isn't supposed to be something like we're looking at one another, judging one another, right? I don't think so-and-so over here is full of faith. I mean, look at him. Look at what he's doing. I can see him on the weeknights. I saw those posts on Facebook, right? That's not what God wants us to do here. That's not what I'm trying to tell you to do. What I'm trying to say is we should examine ourselves in relationship to God, right? We want to know where we stand, where our faith is. If we're walking in the Spirit, we want to have that relationship with God. So I want to leave a few questions with you tonight. And one of them is, how is your faith today? Do you feel like you're close to God? Do you feel like you have faith in God? And are you full of the Holy Ghost consistently or even constantly? So that brings me to my second point. What does it mean to be full of the Holy Spirit, full of faith in the Holy Spirit? In our young married couples class, I don't think, there's a few people here, but I think they're all downstairs. Abby's downstairs. Kevin's there. Adrian's gone. The Taylors are gone. The Phoenixes are gone. Oh, there's the Phoenixes. There. Okay. You guys usually sit up here. So you guys know, in our young married couples class, the past few weeks we've been talking about faith and trust. If you want to turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17, this was one of the examples that we went over of faith. And I'm sure you guys all know it. It's a story of David and Goliath. Specifically, we're going to look at 1 Samuel chapter 17 and verse 45 through 47. Verse 45, then said David to the Philistines, thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied. This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand, and I will smite thee and take thine head from thee, and I will give thee thy carcass, and I will give the carcasses of the hosts of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air and the wild beasts of the earth, and that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel. And all this assembly shall know that the Lord saveth not with the sword and spear, for the battle is the Lord's, and he will give you into our hands. So we know, I know this congregation knows that David was a great man of faith. Just to give a little context, this David was entering the battle. He was delivering food to his brothers on the orders of his father, and he saw the Israelite army cowering in fear of Goliath and the Philistine army. Even King Saul didn't want to go against him. But David looked around, and he hears Goliath defying God, blaspheming his name, and he steps up. He became that man in the gap, right, that we talk about in the Bible. And he stepped up, and he said these words to Goliath, these words of faith, right? He had so much faith, later we read on, right, that he took his sling and just his shepherd's staff. He didn't take Saul's armor. He didn't take his sword. But he charged into battle with a sling and a staff and slung his stone right into Goliath and obviously knocked him out and took his sword up and killed him, right? Just exactly as he said, you can see here this great faith. David was this puny young teenager, and Goliath was this 8-9 foot tall man seasoned in war. David probably never saw a battle in the day of his life except for killing that lion and that bear. And we see this as a process, right? So we see it's a process. So we talked about in our young married couples class, God builds our faith with the small things, with the little things, daily, 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 with the little things, to the point in which something big might come up. In this case, it was David and Goliath. Like I said before, David's faith was being built while he was a shepherd boy tending his sheep when a lion came and a bear came and God gave him the ability to slay them and to defend his sheep. God built his faith up. God does that with us on a daily basis. I'm sure you can think of a time when your faith was built and then a trial came and God gave you the faith and the time and him to face that trial. And that's exactly what happened to David. God built his faith, and when the time came, David had great faith in God and even said so that God will deliver this host to him. And it's going to be the Lord's victory, not his. Now a sword or spear, and David proved that, and God proved that when David went in for slain, right? So that's an example of faith. You guys can turn back to Acts chapter 6. So again, I ask, how is your faith today? Is our faith so great that we can perform wonders and miracles? Acts chapter 6 and verse 8, it says, and Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and miracles among the people. I recognize that the age in which Stephen was living was a new era, and God was using wonders and miracles for the apostles and other men of God to establish the faith of Christianity and to show that God's hand was on it. But it also doesn't show anywhere in the Bible that we can't perform miracles and wonders, right? And Stephen's faith was so full that he was able to perform wonders, great wonders and miracles, even says, among the people. And I would remind you in Matthew chapter 7, verse 7, God tells us, if you ask, you shall receive. In Matthew 17, verses 20 through 21, he tells us, if we had faith the grain of a mustard seed, you'd be able to move that mountain from here to there, right? He's telling that to the apostles after his transfiguration, right? God tells us, and he promises us, that if you have faith, even just a grain of a mustard seed, you can do great and wondrous things for his name. So it's convicting to me when I read that and I think I'm discouraged, right? That I don't have that kind of faith. And I should. There's times when I know there's people I can witness to, there's people I can talk to about God, but I feel as if I'm not adequate enough for that. I don't have faith in God to use me for his work, right? And it's not really us doing the work, right? We know the Holy Spirit's working through us. And all that does is require faith. So last thing I want to look at here is that Stephen was full of the Holy Ghost. So what did that look like? What does it look like when you're full of the Holy Ghost? And I think we all have a basic and good understanding of what that means. To be full of the Holy Spirit, we're walking with God. We're seeking His face in all things. We're delighting in His Word. If you want to turn to Psalm 112, verse 1. Psalm 112, verse 1. Praise ye the Lord. Blessed is the man that feareth the Lord, that delighteth greatly in His commandments. We're blessed when we delight in God's Word. To me, when I just went through a list of things that came on my mind when I was writing this that I felt like were indications of being full of the Holy Spirit that I've seen in my life at points when I was full of the Holy Spirit and walking with God. And this was one of them. I'm delighting in His Word. There's a lot of times we delight in so many other things of this world. For me, a lot of times I like cars. So I'll delight in cars. I'll delight in video games or silly things. I'll delight in money even. I'll delight in the work of my hands, things that I did. And God asks us and tells us to delight in His Word and delight in Him, and He'll bless us for it. When you are full of that Holy Spirit, you will delight in God, right? You are going to seek Him. You want to be with Him. And that goes with that is you're putting all things before Him. Or putting Him before all things, rather, is what I meant to say. When we're walking in the Spirit, we rather seek the things of God than seek the things of ourselves. There's times when, even when I was making this message, I told Clint on Sunday that I'm reading the Silmarillion, which is a J.R.R. Tolkien book. And I was sitting down, I went upstairs intentionally to go read it. I was at my in-law's house. And when I went up there, I was convicted to work on my message. I really, really did not want to. I really didn't. I wanted to read my book because I hadn't read it the whole weekend. But I heeded the Holy Spirit and I obeyed. I chose to put God before myself. And a lot of times when you are walking in the Spirit, that's what happens. There are things that are going to come, whether it's family or situations or anything, really. And you choosing to put God before those things, right? Another big thing, I know we all know it, we're praying and reading to God daily. I would submit to you, you cannot be full of the Holy Spirit unless you're spending time with God. I know you hear that a lot from Pastor, but it's the truth. If you're not reading daily or consistently, if you're not praying with God without ceasing, like Paul tells us, you're not going to be full of that Holy Spirit. You won't be full of faith. It requires your attention, your devotion, your time to be full of that Spirit, to spend that time and spend with God and build a relationship with Him, to trust Him, to have faith in Him, to love Him, and in turn, He's going to fill you. If you don't, if you go out and do the things of the world, you'll be quenched. You can turn to Psalm 108, and we'll look at verses 2 and 3. Psalm 108, verses 2 and 3. Awake, psaltery, and harp. I myself will awake early. I will praise thee, O Lord, among the people. I will sing praises unto thee among the nations. Another aspect of worshiping God, of being full of that Holy Spirit, is our desire and our want and our need to praise God. We'll wake up, and I'm sure this happens to a lot of you, we'll wake up with a melody in our heart, right? And we see that in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 18. You can turn there. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. I'm giving your fingers a workout tonight. Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 18. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making a melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. When we're filled with the Spirit, we're going to want to minister to one another. We're going to want to sing psalms and hymns. We're going to want to read our word. We're going to want to sing and make a joyful noise to the Lord. In this verse, it says we're going to be making a melody in our hearts. There are days when I wake up, and I've talked to my dad about this, where you wake up with a hymnal song in your heart. You just wake up and you're instantly singing. We talked about that, and according to Ephesians, that's an indication of being full of the Spirit. You have a joy unspeakable, right? You wake up in melody. You wake early and you praise God and you praise Him with song. Not only, we're just generally, and generally we're thinking more about God. Our mind is constantly on him. We're meditating on his word. We're thinking, is this something that God wants me to do right now in this moment? A lot of times, and one of the things I looked at when I was in college was was David and his faith. And a lot of times, he went to God for everything, the smallest things. God, is this something you want me to do? So I tried doing that for a while. I don't do that much anymore. I fell off on that. But it takes work to bring everything before God, every little thing. Lord, where do you want me to read tonight? Lord, where should I go? When should I go? Lord, what time should I do this? What time should I do it? How should I go about doing this project? How should I go about doing this project at work? Constantly bringing things before God. And that, to me, is an indication of walking in the Spirit, or being full in the Spirit. A lot of times my mind thinks of the hymn that goes, "Turn your eyes upon Jesus, and the things of earth will go strangely dim." When we do have our eyes on Jesus, that fullness comes, and the things of earth naturally fall away. No longer would we want them. That, to me, is an indication of being full of the Spirit. Also, we are content and at peace, and we have that joy unspeakable, and our love for Christ, our love for God grows. So what's the results based off Stephen's account of being full of the Holy Spirit? You want to turn back to Acts chapter 6. Acts chapter 6 and verse 10. "And they were not able to resist the wisdom and the Spirit by which he spake." So this, like we read, the Libertines and the Cyrenians and the Alexandrians and the people of Cilicia and Asia came before Stephen and started disputing with him that Christ was even Christ. And Stephen had much wisdom, and he had a spirit about him, and when he spake, they could not resist what he was saying. When you are full of that Spirit, when Stephen was full of that Spirit, he had the wisdom and the ability to speak and to be an apologist for God, right? God gives us the words and the time he needs us to have it. Also, in Acts, in verse 15, we see that his countenance changed. "And all that sat in the council, looking steadfastly on him, saw his face as it had been the face of an angel." And this is my opinion. I kind of have it grounded in Exodus with Moses. I think and I believe that when you're so full of the Holy Spirit, when you're walking so close with God, when you're spending so much time with God, your very countenance will change. I don't know if necessarily it will glow like Stephen's did. I think that was also a sign given to the people to see that Stephen is a man of God and this message is from God. But I had an experience when I was in my early 20s. I went to the Culver Wetland Park off of Agri Road in Windsor, and I got out of my car and I knew I was walking with God at that point in my life very closely. And when I went there just to meditate on God's word and to read it for the reason I just felt like doing that and just being in nature and spending that time there. And when I was going out on the path, this woman was walking her dog, and her dog came up to me very friendly and wanted me to engage with it and pet it. And she said to me, "My dog has never done that. She always barks. She always wants to bite people. She always wants to attack them." So to me, I just thought that was interesting that I knew in that moment I was praying and walking with God, and this dog wanted to commune with me for some reason. And I think that reason was just because I had that relationship with God. I don't understand all that. And it's just, like I said, my opinion. It's an anecdote. But I believe, and as we saw it, we see in Exodus with Moses, I won't have you turn there just for time's sake, but you know when Moses came down from Mount Sinai after 40 days with God, his face shone and the Israelites feared it. They were afraid of him because of that. They saw the glory of God through Moses, right? He spent so much time with God, some of his glory came upon him. That's what I think happened there. And that's what happened with Stephen. I believe that he had so much faith, he had so much, his spirit was so full of God's spirit that his face actually shone, his countenance actually changed. But again, that's my opinion. Take it for a grain of salt, like Pastor likes to say. I don't know everything. But it's just interesting to know that Stephen's countenance changed before the people. A man full of faith in the Holy Spirit. So to conclude, like Stephen was a layman, we are all laymen, and we are all capable of having faith as Stephen had and having that fullness of spirit as Stephen had. We're capable of going before God and doing great and wondrous things before him. I don't know if God will have you perform a miracle or wondrous things, but it says that we are capable of it. He promises us that much. If we have that fullness of faith, we can do great things before him. So I'm going to ask you, are you full of faith? Are you full of the Holy Ghost? Does God want to appoint you in a position or put you in a place to be greatly, to put you in a position of authority or put you in a place where you can greatly benefit the church or the lost or the people around you, or the people in the church to minister to them? The point of this message is I want to encourage you to be full of faith. I want to encourage you to seek God in all things and put him before all things. I want you to use this example of Stephen and read it and understand that Stephen was this man full of faith. And just to be convicted by it, to pursue this faith that even Stephen had, and to put your faith more in Christ and more in Jesus. And there's no reason, Stephen was a layman just like us. There's no reason that we can't have the faith that he had. Now, I know the majority of us here, I hope and trust the majority of us here are saved, but the first step of having that faith is believing and trusting that Jesus Christ can save you from our sins. If you haven't trusted in him for that, I encourage you to deal with that today. I encourage you to pray before God, to seek his word if you want to talk to someone about it. There's many people here that would be willing to talk to about it. It's a blessing. I want you guys all to be encouraged to have faith like Stephen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this message tonight. Thank you for the time we're able to spend in your church with your people, Lord. I ask you to bless us, bless the time of prayer, bless the ladies' missions fellowship downstairs. Give them wisdom as they write those letters, Lord, and just help us with that, Lord. And we pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.